The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Friday, Good Friday, March 29th. We want to welcome tonight's broadcast. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everybody to the program tonight. Do me a favor. We got a lot. I want to give you a real encouraging message tonight. I want to leave you this weekend with a great equipping and encouraging message. Before we get started, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that push notification button. And if you've not downloaded our free app, we want to encourage you to stop by your Play Store today, depending on what you have. If it's Apple or Android, go to your Play Store, get our free app, download it today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Every headline, every podcast, every prophecy viewpoint, everything's going to be right at your fingertips. Again, hope everybody's having a great week so far. Where again, it is Good Friday. We're getting headed into what the Western churches will celebrate Easter. I typically don't celebrate Easter. I celebrate Passover. So I've got a message lined up for when we get into Passover, but tonight we got a great message. Absolutely gorgeous day here in Georgia, in my neck of the woods. It's warmed up a lot, but again, with that, we pay the price with pollen. We have a joke here in Georgia. We don't get snow, but we get pollen, and we get a lot of it. We're going to get through a lot of scripture today, but I think you're going to really enjoy this message. Again, if you're new, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you're new, where you guys are joining us from. We'd always love to hear from you and hear where you guys are joining us from, even outside of the States. Again, we get a lot of people, even outside the United States, that comes in, and we always love to acknowledge that. So I'm going to start out. Our foundational scriptures are going to be in Ezekiel chapter 31:16. That's Ezekiel 31:16 and Haggai 2:7. Again, Ezekiel 31:16, Haggai 2:7. I want to talk about, I believe in all the research I've done studying in this particular topic, in this particular subject, I believe without 100%, with no shadow of a doubt, I believe this, what I'm about to preach and teach to you today, I 100% believe this. Now, there was a time that I was questioned this. I would hear ministers get up and they would talk about this particular, what I'm about to talk about, and I would question it. I couldn't find it. I couldn't see it. But after extensive, exhaustive research and study, and if you guys know us, I am one that I always like to, I take you in the Old Testament, and I like parallels, types, shadows, these types of, you know, these, the thing, the historical accounts of passages and events, and they always, typically, they are precursors to future events. So when I begin to hear about before we enter into the Great Tribulation and we get into the things written by John the Revelator in 95 AD called the Book of Revelation, and even things that Daniel saw and Zechariah saw and so and Ezekiel saw, some of these prophets, there has always been, well, I wouldn't say always, but in a lot of circles, there is this general consensus that God is going to bring an outpouring upon the earth, wherein which it'll be one final outpouring to swing that sickle and to bring souls into the harvest. So I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit today, I'm going to show you, there's going to be kind of a two-part or two-coined, a two-headed coin here. It's going to be a heads and tails of the coin. On one side, we're going to see the great shakeup, but I believe all of this shakeup is going to lead to a great wake up. I'm going to say that one more time. A great shakeup to produce a great wake up. Now, so let's get into the shakeup aspect of this. That's why I told you in the beginning of this, in the introduction, to go to Ezekiel 31 and Haggai 2:7. So I'm going to pull these up on the screen. We're going to read these together. And then let's get into this and let's see what the Holy Spirit and the Word of God will give us for this message today. All right, I made the nations shake. I want to read this again. I made the nations shake at the sound of its fall when I cast it down to hell together with those who descended to the pit and all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water were comforted in depths of the earth. Notice in this passage, he talks about the Lord himself made the nations shake, past tense. Now we go to Haggai. And again, this is Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. Let me pull this up. And here's what it says here. And we'll start at verse 6, Haggai 2, 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth. So this is future tense. What I read to you in Ezekiel is past tense. This is a future tense event. Again, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth. This is very important. The sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple, watch this, shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now I want to show you that there is a shaking coming. Somebody say there's a shaking coming. There's a shaking happening now, but I believe that there is coming a much greater shaking in the future, and it will affect four locations. Here it is: heaven, earth, sea, and the dry land. And when these four areas are shaken, again, heaven, earth, sea, and dry land, all that is found right there in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. As a result of this, all nations shall be impacted by this. So when we talk about how is the Lord going to shake these four areas? Again, let's talk about this. He says the heavens shall be shaken. How can this happen? How can the heavens be shaken? Well, the heavens can be shaken by meteorites, asteroids, comets, solar flares, and solar storms. Jesus said in Luke 21, there shall be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. He goes on to say there will be great and fearful sights from heaven. You go to Revelation 6, 13, and 14. Let me pull this up. Again, Revelation 6, 13, 14. This is a future event. Look what John saw and he wrote down in his writings. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Verse 14, and then the sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. So again, here we see John the Revelator describing stars falling from heaven, causing the sky to recede like a scroll. This is what John described in his writings. Then you go to Revelation 8. He says, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. So this again, if you look this up in the Greek, it's astar, where we get the word asteroid. This asteroid will fall to the earth. It will fall. It will impact the rivers and springs of the water. And the name of the star is Wormwood, meaning bitter, because it turns a third of the waters wormwood or bitter, and many men shall die from the water because it is made bitter. Then we go to Revelation 16. Again, this is all in the tribulation, guys. This is future tense events. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, and each hailstone about the weight of a talent, that's about 100 pounds in our terms. And this 100-pound hailstones will fall from heaven, and men will blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. Revelation 16. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. Remember, sign in the sun, moon, and stars? He will pour out a bowl upon the sun, and the power was given to him, this angel, And he will use the sun to scorch men with fire. It's right there in Revelation 16, 8, verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who had power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. So what are we talking about here? Again, Haggai said, once again, yet it's in a little while, I will shake heaven. The heavens will be shaken. And again, when these heavens are shaken, it will produce, again, meteorites, asteroids, comets, solar flares, solar storms. And then when you read this, the powers of, in Luke 21, Jesus said the powers of heaven. Let me pull this up because I want to read this to you and show you this. All right, this is Luke 21, 25 and 26. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And on earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. Look what it says. Men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. Now look at this next phrase. For the powers, somebody say powers, of the heavens will be shaken. Why did I tell you to repeat that? Because this Greek word here, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, is in the connotation of, you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So when this shaking occurs that Haggai is talking about and alluding about, it's not just that we'll see comets and meteorites and these things, but there will be angels that will directly be involved with this. There will be angels of God that will be used of God to produce the judgments of God. I just read that to you out of the book of Revelation, but these are also demonic powers. We call this spiritual warfare in the heavenlies. And I'm telling you, there are certain cyclical seasons in the earth. One of them is where we currently are now, and it's an election cycle. When we enter into these election cycles, guys, I'm telling you, we are combating with principalities and powers in the heavens that cause, watch this, when these heavenly battles occur. And I know some of y'all are thinking, what in the world are you talking about, Brother Ricky? I've never heard such a thing. Well, go to read the book of Daniel. When Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him and told him that his prayers were hindered because there was warfare in the heavens over his prayer. And it was being delayed because of the warfare. So, and I can take you and show you the prince. The Bible mentions the prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia. There is these prince chief spirits that reign over certain regions and areas of the earth. Right now, our men and women in uniform in the Middle East, if they're stationed in the Middle East or anywhere in that area, in places where these are hotbeds, where there is bloodshed and wars and nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, there is principalities over those regions. Okay, so and I believe that as when Haggai was talking about here, and he says the heavens will be shaken. Jesus said the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It's telling us and it's warning us one of the signs that we're entering in, come on, to the coming of the Lord or the end of the age is you're going to see an increase in heavenly activity in the heavens, but it will also produce these great and fearful sights from heaven and judgments out of heaven that will shake all nations as a result of it. All right, then Haggai says the earth will be shaken. The earth will be shaken. Now, what is this? This is very simple. The earth being shaken that impacts all nations would be earthquakes and volcanoes. All right, Revelation 16, verses 18 through 20. And there was noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Again, in Greek, this is megos, where we get the term megaquake. There was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the face of the earth. Think about that. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. The cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Friend, guys, this is alluding. It appears here that wherever this is located, wherever this earthquake happens on the earth, it is going to trigger multiple fault lines. And as a result of this, it's going to cause islands to be moved out of its place. There will be a great loss of lives, and it will cause absolutely catastrophic damage. And it says the nations of the earth shall be impacted by this. I believe Isaiah the prophet saw this in Isaiah chapter 24, verses 19 through 20. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. Come on, somebody say it's shaken. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut, and its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. Guys, again, it's interesting that the prophet equates transgressions to these disasters, because I'm going to tell you a truth here. You're not going to hear this on, listen, you won't hear this on TBN. You're not going to hear this on Christian television. You're not going to hear this on Christian radio, but the transgressions, the iniquities, the abominations, the shedding of innocent blood through the taking of the lives of innocent children and taking the lives of missionaries and Christians through martyrism. This is what's going to cause the cup of the indignation of the wrath of God to be poured out. And because of this, the blood is crying out from the dirt, from the dust, from the earth, and God will bring judgment. And one of the ways in which he'll do this is, again, this shaking that Haggai talks about, that Ezekiel talks about, and it will produce these catastrophic earthquakes. And then if you go to the book of Joel, even in the book of, did you know that even in the Gog of Magog war in Ezekiel 38, 39, there is coming a great earthquake there that's mentioned. I got it pulled up here. Ezekiel 38, 18, and I'll read on. And it will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel. This is a future event, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. Where is it going to be? The land of Israel. And it will be so tremendous. It will be so great that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep on the earth. Wow. And all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Somebody say, shake. The mountains shall be thrown down. The steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Listen, I believe this is the same thing that John saw. Now, I don't want to get into... we can get to theological debates on this, but I believe these are not two separate events. I believe this is the same event. So I don't know what you want to do with that on the timing of this war here, but I'm telling you, this seems by all logic that it's describing the same event that John saw and he mentions in the book of Revelation. Speaking of Revelation, let's go back to Revelation. We get to Revelation 11. John saw... you go to Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, and through about 5, he talks about, he sees the future construction of the third temple in Jerusalem. We've been talking a lot about that over the last few months because of the anticipation of the sacrifice of the red heifers. He describes this third temple that will be built, and then he mentions the two prophets, the two witnesses. They will come. I believe it's Elijah and Enoch. And the reason why I say it's Elijah and Enoch, because Elijah and both Enoch never saw physical death. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, Enoch walked with God and was not and was taken. And Elijah, we know, according to the Bible, that he was taken up in a chariot of fire and he never saw physical death. Therefore, I believe these are the two witnesses. And it says in Revelation 11:11, now after 3.5 days, they will actually be slaughtered by the Antichrist, be killed. They will lay in the streets. And Revelation 11 says, now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God will enter back into them, and they will stand upon their feet, and great fear will fall upon all who see them. And guys, The Bible says the whole world will witness them be killed by the Antichrist. Again, in John's day, when he saw this, the technology and the capability did not exist for the entire world to be able to witness such an event. But in the future, he saw way out in the future where in which we would have satellite technology, we would have internet technology, we would have the world of TikTok and Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. So there would be this instantaneous global collaboration of technology that will be used to be able to stream this live. The whole world will witness the Antichrist slay the two witnesses. But John says in the Bible that, look at this, after 3.5 days, God will raise them back to their feet and it will cause fear to sweep the globe. And in verse 12 of Revelation 11, they hear a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Your King James says, come up hither. And they will ascend to heaven in a cloud. Hello, rapture. Hello, catching away. Hello, gathering together. This is the same phrase, same terminology, and same event that we see in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. It's the same thing that happened to Elijah, and it's the same thing that happened to Enoch. The two witnesses will be raptured again. They were raptured the first time. They're going to get raptured again. They will ascend to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies shall see them. And watch this, but don't get, I'm going to pull this together here. Verse 13, and in the same hour, look what it says, there was a great earthquake. So this is in Jerusalem, and a tenth of the city fell. And John says he sees that 7,000 people will lose their lives from this earthquake. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about Haggai said there's coming a shaking in the heavens. There's coming a shaking in the earth. We can see this through earthquakes. But let me show you something else from the book of Joel. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, Joel said that he sees an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will come, that will come upon the earth. It will sweep the globe and it will start. And it did start. It was initiated on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. But we'll get back to that in a minute. We'll circle back around when we get to the other side of the coin of this. Verse 30, look what it says here. This is all in the same context. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. My friends, I believe the blood, fire, and pillars of smoke turning the sun into darkness and the moon turning to blood absolutely can be a volcanic eruption. So are you tracking with me? The heavens will be shaken, Haggai said. Haggai said the earth shall be shaken. And then he says the sea shall be shaken. Now, how's the sea going to shake? I'm going to tell you how it's going to shake. It will be shaken through tsunamis, underwater earthquakes. And remember, we showed you in the book of Revelation that the sea and the rivers will be shaken through asteroid strikes. And I will take it even further. Nuclear warfare, nukes striking the oceans. And this will cause the sea to be shaken. And then, of course, hurricanes, catastrophic hurricanes, guys. Listen, they're already warning that, and I don't want to get into the political aspect or the climate change, environmental aspect of this, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to kind of go off of what they're saying because I believe it plays into the Bible. And they're already, the environmentalists and all the quote unquote experts in the NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, and all those people that register this, they have been warning us for some time that these storms, these hurricanes and these tornadoes are going to increase in their intensity, that they're going to have such an intensification that the wind speeds will surpass the scales in which that we have already constructed for them. For example, hurricanes, I believe hurricanes only get up to what, a cat, what is it, five? I want to say a Cat 5 or Cat 4, somewhere around there. That is the highest they go. But they're saying that eventually it's going to go, it's going to surpass that, and we're not going to be able to measure it. Same with tornadoes. You have an EF5 is the strongest. It's like a mile wide, 2 mile wide tornado. So they're saying that it's going to surpass that. They're warning us this year and 2024 that because it's a, what is it, an El Nino or a La Nino? I get them two mixed up. Because it's in this, we're in that cycle, and because of the warming waters of the ocean, it's, we're gonna see, again, this is not my words, this is the quote unquote experts, they're warning that we're gonna see a record number of catastrophic earthquakes. They're saying that, or excuse me, not earthquakes, hurricanes. I get all this mixed up because we're talking about it. Hurricanes are forecasted this year, and they said that the number of hurricanes forecasted could go beyond the names that they've already compiled. Because, you know, every year they have a list of names, and then every time a hurricane appears, they give it that name, and then another one comes and they give it that name. They're saying that we could go through all of the names this year. So time will tell. But don't miss my point. Luke 21:25, he says that the sea and the waves will roar. Okay? Then, so Haggai said, I saw the earth shaking. I saw the heavens shaking. I saw the sea shaking. But then he said, I saw the dry land. Now, how's the dry land going to be shaken? I believe that this can be caused by famine, drought, and pestilences and plagues. Let me say that again. Famines, droughts, pestilences, and plagues. Now, I'm going to couple this in with it. Wildfires, you can throw that in with this. Think about the things that are happening right now, guys. We're seeing food shortages. We're seeing food supply change disruptions. We're seeing bird flu that's now showing up for the first time in cattle. This is unheard of in America. We've seen poultry farms where in which the bird flu has impacted them, and it's impacted the turkeys and the chickens and the poultry, but now it's going into the cattle in Texas, the same place, same location where they just experienced that historical catastrophic wildfire that wiped out somewhere between 7,000 and 10,000 cattle. Okay, then look what happened in Hawaii. Look at the wildfire there. Well, I say wildfire in parentheses. Don't get me started on that. But nevertheless, it impacted the land. Then in California, it impacted the land. Then again, we have these plagues, and they're talking about, some are warning that we could see another locust. Because now I don't want to just focus on America, but I want to go outside of America. But even we could have more plagues of locusts that destroy entire crops and people's livelihoods. And then, of course, droughts. Are we going to see droughts? Are we going to see these things? So the dry land shall be shaken as well. Now, it's interesting. When you go to the book of Haggai, where in which we gave you this scripture in Haggai 2, the Hebrew word there for shake, once again, I will shake heaven and earth and sea and the dry land. We've been using this word interchangeably through this entire message. The word shake here is a Hebrew word meaning to move, quake, shake, tremble, and to make afraid. Let me say that again. The word shake. The prophet said, once again, it is a little while and I shall, come on, and I shall shake. I shall move, quake, shake, tremble, and make afraid all of these areas. Listen, the scriptures tell us that judgments are coming upon the earth in all of these four areas. And even angels will be responsible for this during the tribulation. Those that will be living upon the earth will view these judgments as natural disasters, but those in heaven understand that these will be the judgments of God, and even those on the earth that have the discernment Because the only people that's going to be shaking their fist at God during that time are the unbelievers. The believers already know what's going on. And again, depending on what your theology is, if you believe pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, if you believe in mid-trib or post-trib, especially post-trib, then you believe that the church is going to be going through this. So I would venture to say that that's not going to be the church shaking their fists and blaspheming the God of heaven. The church is going to be suffering the wrath of Satan and God, which I don't, again, this is why I don't hold to that view, because the, listen, I don't have time to get into this. I'll just give you a couple things here. Nahum says that God has preserved his wrath or reserved his wrath for the enemies of God. Last time I checked, you and I are not the enemies of God. We're the bride of Christ. Okay, secondly, Paul said to the church of Thessalonica that God will reserve us or deliver us from the wrath to come. That's a future tense event. And he wrote that to the church of Thessalonica when he was comforting them because they had thought they had missed the coming of the Lord because someone was forging letters in Paul's name. So I personally don't believe that we will be here when you see these judgments pouring out, these things where the scorching men with the heat and the great 100-pound hailstones and these earthquakes that are swallowing up men and nations and mountains being moved out of its place. I believe we will already be taken from the earth. But again, I'm not here to debate that. I'm just giving you this as we read this along here. Now, all right, so I've given you one side of the coin. Now, if you don't mind, I want to flip that coin because I know this sounds, you know, when you just read, if we were to, come on, if we were to keep you here with this, then it sounds discouraging, despairing, troubling, but I'll come by today to give you some good news. I want to flip that coin and I want to tell you today that it appears from what I have researched and studied that, watch this, that it appears And the Bible seems to indicate that these major events will produce a great awakening in the latter days prior to the great tribulation. Let me say that again. It appears that there's coming a great awakening before the great tribulation. Now, what that great awakening looks like, I can't tell you that. And there's not a scholar out there or theologian or Bible preacher, teacher, pastor. I don't care how many degrees of theology he's got or how many churches he's pastored or if he's an apostle or whatever. We can only speculate of what that looks like. Will it look like the first great awakening? Will it look anything like the second great awakening? I don't know. What is it going to look like? Or is it going to be something that's going to impact the whole globe? Are we going to see a worldwide sweeping revival like a lot of these evangelists talk about or these pastors preach about or some of these theologians talk about how they say that there's coming a great move of God that will the Spirit of God will sweep the earth like the waters of the flood of the ocean will sweep through the earth. Again, this is only my opinion, okay? And that's why I said all that to say this before I wanted to interject this. I don't really see this being something that's going to be like this global utopia where the whole world is experiencing revival. I believe it's going to be pockets. You're going to hear about a shaking, come on, a spiritual shaking, an awakening in Africa. You're going to hear something in Europe. You're going to hear something happening in the Middle East. You're going to hear something happening in America, and you're going to see fruit from it. You're going to see souls being saved. You're going to be seeing multitudes being baptized. Now, one would even argue that we're even seeing some of that, or we've had seen this since the days of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, in the upper room, when the Holy Ghost fell and Peter stood up and said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall have visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And in those days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon your handmaidens and your men servants. I will pour out my Spirit." And then he goes in, he talks about the shaking of the earth, the volcanic eruptions, the sun turning to darkness, the moon turning to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So you see that in Scripture. And so from the day of Pentecost to today, which is, again, we're in 2024. We have seen seasons of the first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening. We've seen revivals hit in America. We've seen revivals hit overseas. We've seen God speaking to Muslims. Come on, Muslim men and women showing up in dreams and visions and encounters. So come on, God is still moving in the earth. But I believe, watch this, as we see this shaking of the heavens, the sea, the dry land, all these areas, these four areas here that we just talked about that Haggai mentions and Ezekiel both mentioned that the nations will be impacted, it appears here that it is going to produce an awakening among the people. Now, we know, again, I'm going to show you something here. Even when we get into tribulation, I believe souls will still be saved in the tribulation. People will still be giving their lives to the Lord. I want to prove that to you in Revelation 20, verse 4. Here's what John peered all the way into the tribulation. And by the way, this is like in the latter part. This is not in the beginning. We're getting over into the final 42 months of the tribulation. So this is even beyond mid-trib. This is when the Antichrist is already into power, his system's already into place, the false prophets there, the image is up, the mark of the beast is being instituted, all that, okay? So this is way out there. And look what he says here in Revelation 20, verse 4. John said, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God." You see this? John saw souls in heaven that were beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. Now look at this. Who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. All right, stop. These are not saints that died before the tribulation. These were saints that John saw that died during the tribulation, who apparently, friends, listen to me, they gave their hearts to the Lord, because if they did not, listen, if they would have taken that mark, because your Bible says that if any man takes that mark in their body or in their right hand or in their forehead, they are damned for eternity. They're done. They're doomed. There's no repentance for that. Okay? So these individuals, clearly, we can see here that they will come face to face. Wow, it just gives me chills thinking about it. They came face to face, or they will come, future tense. These individuals, they will have to make a decision. The Antichrist and the false prophet are now controlling the entire governments of the world. This is a new world order. This is the new Babylonian beast system that has now been set up with a buying and selling and trading system that will require putting something in or on their right hand or in on their forehead. Without it, they will not be able to buy, sell, or trade. And the same individuals will be forced to worship an image that will be, and I believe it's artificial intelligence behind it, that will cause it to both speak and live and cause people to worship it. These people that John saw, Revelation 20, will refuse to worship the image, and they will refuse the mark of the beast. And the Bible says their fate will be met by beheading. Now, friends, that is a bizarre way of eliminating these individuals. I'm trying to use my words wisely here because I want to keep the live stream or the stream up on the platform. Do you realize what major religion still exists that beheads enemies? I'm just going to leave that there. I'm not going to elaborate any farther. There's one major religion that still exists in our time in 2024 that still beheads their enemies. So whoever this is, whoever's controlling this beast system, whatever religion of this Antichrist and false prophet is, it is a religion that obviously believes in and teaches the beheading of those who oppose their system. I'm going to leave it right there and we're going to move on. Don't miss what I'm saying here. The whole point of me bringing you there was to show you that there will be people, guys, that will be giving their heart in the tribulation. Those people would have not chose death if they would. Those people that chose that to die, that John saw, because they chose that because they had some kind of a foreknowledge to not take that mark, to not worship that image. Where did that come from? It came through the evangelizing of either watches. Now I'm going to go to my theology. Okay, these could be individuals that were left behind, that didn't go in the first load. They didn't get caught up at the beginning of this thing, and they were left behind to go through the tribulation. So they had already, come on, they had heard it from you and I over and over again that you got to get right with God because the rapture's coming, the catching away is coming, the harpazo's coming. They laughed at us, they scorned us, they ridiculed us. But then if they get left behind, they see the Antichrist rising to power, the false prophet coming to power, and all the system being implemented, they're going to, listen guys, they're going to immediately know, oh man, I've been left behind. And they're going to know what to do. They're going to know from our preaching, our teaching, everything's going to be out. No doubt there'll be, if YouTube's still around and TikTok's still around and Facebook's still around and websites are still around, literature still being circulated underground, off the radar, Bibles are being smuggled, they're going to have access to that information, and they're going to know that they're going to either have to make the choice. They're going to have to make that choice, and they're going to reject the false prophet and reject the Antichrist and reject that system. And they know that their fate will be met by giving their lives as a martyr. And that's what John saw in Revelation chapter 20. Now let's go back over to Joel. I want to go back over to what Joel saw, the prophet saw. The prophet saw a time when God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And I told you, Peter verified that. Peter confirmed that, a Pentecost, and it's still happening, guys. God has not, he has not retracted his spirit, as the sensationist would leave you to believe, that it departed from the last apostle and it ceased in operation, and the gifts are gone and the miracles are gone and all the supernatural is gone. No, they're still here. They're still operating. The Holy Spirit's still in the earth. Watch this. Joel said, he said, that's going to happen. He said, there'll be volcanic eruptions, or there'll be something that will happen that will be deemed as wonders in heavens and the earth. It will produce blood, fire, pillars of smoke, the sun being turned to darkness, moon turned to blood. Guys, that can be solar eclipses and lunar eclipses as well. Notice what he says here. It will all happen before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Verse 32, I love this. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. I said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are you waiting for? If you're in the chat, you're listening on Apple, on Spotify, and you're not right with God, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you'll stick around, the word of the Lord says, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, the only name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved, then you shall be saved. Friend, you don't want to play around with this. You get left behind and you're going to go through what I just talked about. You're going to be faced with the decision to either take that mark, worship that image, or you're going to have to give up your life. And I mean, that's fine. If you want to do that, just know that that's going to be your fate. Now, again, I'm going to go back to Haggai 2. Notice the prophet said, yes, there's coming a shaking in heaven and sea, and the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the dry land. And yes, it will shake all nations. But notice he prophesied. And this was a thus saith the Lord, by the way. Listen what it says here. And they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. The prophet is saying that there's coming a greater glory, guys, than it ever existed in the former. That's a future tense event that has not transpired yet. Now, what are we talking about here? I'm showing you the evidence, guys. There is compelling evidence to show that there is a final outpouring, final harvest. That there's the sickle is going to be swung, and there's coming a final harvest. in the midst of all these disasters. And you guys have heard me talk about this. For all you new guys, all the new individuals, we want to show you this. For all of our regular viewers, bear with us, because again, we're trying to sharpen, kind of iron sharpening iron here. We're sharpening the iron of those who may not hear this. James gave a prophecy here. Yes, James, in the New Testament, in James chapter 5. And I'm going to pull this up on the screen. I'm not going to read this verbatim, like verse by verse by verse. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase here. And you can pull it up here so you can look at it in your own time. James talks about a judgment that will come in the last days. And he literally says it here. Let me pull this up here. Right here, you have heaped up treasure in the last days. So he uses the term last days, but he talks about this judgment that will come upon these elites, these group of rich individuals upon the earth that are in corruption. Come on, a cabal. Oh, wow. Think about what's going on right now in all these industries. Think about everything that's being exposed right now in the hip hop scene and the rap scene, the music industry, the entertainment industry, all these people that think they're untouchable and that they will not face judgment or circumstances. And look what's happening. God is shaking everything that can be shaken. He's exposing, he's bringing to light, he's bringing down, he's toppling, he's pulling down the house of cards is collapsing. And James says in the last days, there will be these individuals who their riches will be corrupted, their gold and silver will be corroded, and it will bear witness against them, because they will be heaping up treasures in the last days. They will keep back. They will shun the poor. They will shun the needy. The cries of these individuals will go up before the ears of the Lord. And James says that it will condemn them in the end. And then he goes down here in verse 7 and he starts talking to the church and he says, therefore, be patient, my brethren. Look at this, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And you've heard me teach this, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. See, guys, listen to me. In the natural, Israel had two rain seasons. They had a spring rain and a fall rain. A spring rain prepared the soil. It softened up the soil and the earth, and then the fall rain came and it made ripe for harvest. Wow. Think about it. We had a spring rain on the day of Pentecost, upper room, and we've been in that, but they're still coming. Come on, another outpouring. They're still coming. Why? Why is there coming another outpouring? Because God is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and he's willing and he's waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. There, why do you think the James is telling us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, be patient, my brothers and sisters. I know you're becoming discouraged. I know you're becoming disgruntled because you see all the signs, you see all the turmoil, you see all the disasters, you see all the corruption, the evil. You're like David. It said, how long, O Lord, shall the wicked triumph? When will you step out of your banister of heaven? When will you step from your throne? When shall you bring vengeance upon the Lord? Even in Revelation, it says that those who were slain, their blood that was shed, the shedding of innocent blood, these martyrs will cry out. They're in heaven and they're crying out saying, when, O God, shall you avenge our blood? My friend, I got news for you. It is coming. It will happen. But God is long suffering and he wills that none perish. And all, I said all, come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to give you one more thing that I want you to ponder on. And I want to show you something out of the book of Song of Solomon. Yes, Song of Solomon. You heard it right. Song of Solomon. And we're in Song of Solomon chapter 2. Watch this. This is so powerful. Remember what I told you at the beginning of this? I believe if you understand that God works through seasons, cycles, patterns, He goes through types and shadows. So everything that we read about and we see in the New Testament and events that are foretold in the future that prophets saw and foretold, you're going to see them somewhere in some type or form, prelude of something in text in the Old Testament. Listen to me. I believe that the event that we read about, and I'm going to jump over here and I'll jump back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me go here and we'll go back to Song of Solomon 2. Paul said this, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." And that's that word there is a Greek idiom meaning those who have died. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are dead in Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain," so this is one group, "we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are dead." That's second group, two groups, "we who are alive and remain and those who are dead. For the coming," listen, "for the Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first." That's the first group. "Then we who are alive and remain," that's the second group, "shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Now, could it be possible that this glorious, blessed hope is found somewhere in the Old Testament? I believe it is. And this is just one example. I could show you like five, but we don't have time for that. And I believe one of these is right here in Song of Solomon chapter 2. Look, Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 10. Listen to what it says here. My beloved spoke. This would be like the Lord speaking. He's considered to be our beloved. And he said to me, look what he says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Sounds very similar to "come up hither" or "come up here." Now look at this, "lo, the winter is past." Now look at this. This is very interesting. "The rain is over and gone." Remember, former rain, latter rain. The rain is over and it's gone. "The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land." Look at this. "The fig trees put forth her green figs." Now, where did we hear that? That sounds awfully familiar. Where did we hear that from? Oh, that's right. We heard that in Matthew chapter 24. In verse 32, Jesus, when he's talking about the signs of the coming of the Lord, the end times, he talks about Israel and he gives us a picture of a fig tree. Look what he says. "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors." In other words, the Lord says, watch Israel, because Israel is the centerpiece of Bible prophecy. And when you begin to see all of the things that the prophets foretold about Israel, they would become a nation. Jerusalem would be reinstated as the capital, 1948, 1967. Isaiah said that Israel would blossom again. They would fill the earth again. All these things that the prophets foretold and they saw about Israel. You go to Acts chapter 3, Peter stands up. Oh, I got to show you this. Because I want you to see this, because it's all ties in with this. So remember, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is taking place. Peter's up and he's preaching. Look what he says here. "Repent, therefore, and be converted." This is Acts chapter 3, verse 19. "That your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Look at this. "That he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive." That word "receive" in Greek means to restrain or hold back until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Friends, those things are alluding to the restoration of the nation of Israel. Let me go back. So let's go back to Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, he mentions the fig tree putting forth green figs. and the vines with tender grapes give a good smell. And then he repeats it again, twice. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 says, come up hither, and he says it twice. He says it to the dead first, and then the alive shall be caught up together. Solomon gives this cryptic love letter and uses these terms. Guys, I do not believe in coincidences like this. He uses these terms, beloved, rise up and come away. He talks about the rain is over, it's gone, the fig tree putting forth its figs. And he uses this term, come up and come away, twice in this passage. What is my point? My point is, friends, wow. Again, we've got to be prepared. As the church, as the ecclesia, we've got to know that God, everything that we see right now on the political arena, the things that are happening in the entertainment industry, things that are happening in the earth, the nations, the famines, the pestilence, the earthquakes, the disasters, the blood moons, the solar eclipses, the signs, the great and fearful signs in heaven. This is exactly what the prophets foretold. Haggai said, once again, it is yet a little while. I, the Lord, will shake the heavens, the sea, the dry ground and the earth, and everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. The nation shall be shaken. Why is God allowing this shaking? Because he's trying to reawaken. Come on, the dead. He's trying to reawaken those individuals that, come on, are lukewarm. He's trying to shake up the nations and get the heathens and get the unbelieving and get the unregenerated, come on, to wake up and see what is coming. Because again, I'm telling you, friend, the Bible says that God is waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. He is long suffering and wills that none perish. God desires that all men come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listen, this is why we're telling you this today, is because we have a mission. We have a mandate. We have a commission. And that is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, because the time is at hand, friend. So listen, we should not be moved. We should not be shaken by the great shaking that's happening in all these arenas of the earth, and every nation's going to be involved in this. And you know what this means? It means that we are seeing the birth pangs of the Messiah. It's only going to intensify. It's only going to increase. So here's why I wanted to leave you with this exciting, encouraging, and equipping word. And that is, friends, now is the time that we need to begin to believe, come on, for personal revival, personal outpouring. Peter said, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That is a picture of an outpouring. The heavens will open, the rain will come. And come on, is there anybody out there listening today, watching today, listening by Apple, listening by Spotify, watching by YouTube, watching by Rumble, watching the rebroadcast of this, and you are in a dry, barren place? Come on, and you see everything that's going on in the world. What is it doing to you? Is it pulling you closer to Christ, or is it pulling you away from Christ? I come by to encourage you today. This is not the time to grow weary. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to bury your head in the sand. It's not time to get angry and shake your fist at God. It's time, come on, to bear down. Come on, make your face like flint and be as Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord even more so. We're gonna go into that harvest. We're gonna look across the plains. We see that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. It is ripe, it is white for harvest, and it is ready, come on, for the taking at this moment. So listen, right now, if you're watching, you're listening, and you're away from God, this is what's important right now, guys. If you're away from God, you don't know God, I'm going to pray for you right now, because this is far more important than me just giving you some podcast or some knowledge or information. It is the revelation that the need of your salvation. The Bible says, make your calling assured, make known, make it a peace. You should have a peace about your calling. Your calling, make known the calling and make it your election be sure. Examine yourselves to see whether or not you're in the faith. That's what we're doing right now. So come on, let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've given to me today. I've delivered it according to how I felt that the Holy Spirit has inspired me and led me to do that. Lord, if there be anybody watching, anybody listening that doesn't know you, they've never accepted you, they don't have no relationship with you, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would lead them to repentance as they open their mouth and as they begin to pour out their heart before you, as they repent of their sins, their transgressions, their iniquities, their trespasses. I pray that, Lord, that they would accept you as their Lord and Savior, that, Lord, you would wash them in your blood, Jesus, that you would inscribe their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, we just thank you today. We rejoice with them today. All of heaven is rejoicing over one sinner that's converted today. Lord, if there be anybody watching, listening, they're backslidden. They're away from God. Lord, we're not saying that they don't know God. We're not saying that they're not saved, but Lord, they're complacent. They're lackadaisical. They're on the fence. They're lukewarm. They have no fire. They have no passion. They have no prayer life. They have no desire to be in the house of God or do the works of God. I pray that, Lord, as they repent based on the promise of Acts 3, you said if they repent, you said that you would bring times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So I pray that they would experience that refreshing even now, right now, Lord, refreshing in their home, refreshing in their marriage, refreshing in their ministry, refreshing in their finances, refreshing in their health, refreshing in their mind and their mind, will, and emotions. Lord, that it would be time of refreshing to their household. And Lord, we just thank you for this. And for all those that are watching, listening today, we know we're saved. We're walking with God. I pray that you would put in us, Lord, a fire and a desire to go in out the door, go into the fields, go out there where the harvest is plentiful and begin to preach to them. Come on, for repent, therefore, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, guys, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be where you're going to find us. That's our bookmark. That's where you can bookmark our site. Download our free app today. Again, available on Apple and Android. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared to go. Listen, if this ministry blesses you, it encourages you, it equips you, it edifies you, all the above, week after week after week, we would love for you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You could do that two different ways. You can give electronically right there on the screen to the left. If you're watching the visual of this, go to the app, go scroll down into the bottom where it says donate, or you can go to the main website. You can give there, or you can give by check or by money order, and you can make it out to right there on your screen, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, from all of us here at End Time Headlines and myself, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We're going to be signing off for this weekend. We plan on, Lord willing, we'll be right back here on Monday, and I believe that's April 1st, if I'm correct. 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Think about that, guys. We're coming up on the week of that solar eclipse. We're less than 2 weeks away. So it's going to be an interesting couple weeks coming ahead. So again, we'll see you right here, same time, same channel, same place on Monday, April 1st. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.